Welcome to I Shouldn't Have Had Kids, a parenting comedy podcast hosted by two working moms of three kids who are somehow surviving life with boys. Not that we make it hard. We are delightful.
You can download this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play Music. Be sure to rate, subscribe, and review. Share your thoughts about the show. The parental sanity you save may be your own, or possibly my mother's.
We're going to nip this pandemic in the bud with a bunch of men hanging on to the hope
that they're going to get a blowjob today.
Whoop, whoop.
Hi, and welcome to I Shouldn't Have Had Kids.
That's Bonnie.
And that's still Ellen.
We are two working at home moms.
Raising three boys.
And that's plenty for our resume.
Plenty, let me tell you. And by raising, actually that might be a bit of a stretch at this point.
Yeah, because our boys are 22, 19, and 16. And while we're kind of done raising, there's still plenty of parenting to do.
Are you ever done raising? That's the question of the hour. Anyway, those young men have given their permission for us to speak freely on this show about them.
So to honor that, we gave them pseudonyms to protect their anonymity.
Like it works. In order of age, oldest to youngest, they are Tigger, Lola, and Shy Guy. If you want more details on those names, check out our trailer. It's got everything.
All right. Anyway, what were we talking about?
Oh, right. This is a comedy parenting podcast, and we encourage you to laugh with us or at us. Your choice, totally.
But the one thing you should never do is take our advice, unless we tell you to.
Which we will tell you to quite often. And we swear a fuck ton, so if that bothers you, pull out the AirPods.
And there you have it. That's us. Now tell us a bit about yourselves.
Oh, wow. This is really a one-sided medium.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll just do it. So it's week 35 of our podcast.
Hi. Here we are.
So tonight we're going to be talking about soiling the nest.
And we'll explain what that means in just a minute. But first of all, you've already stolen my thunder.
Why?
Doot, 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 oh. Doot, doot, doot.
Breaking news. Anytime that you have breaking news.
No, it's shit list.
I think shit list. I think breaking news.
The dog farts.
It's
you name it.
Breaking news, fake news.
A boy burps.
Boop, 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 boop.
It is not boop, 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 boop,
okay,
boop.
What is
boop.
It again?
That's like Betty boop, 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 boop.
No, okay, do it.
Do, do, do,
oh,
do,
dude. Do, do. Dude. Why can I not get that right?
There are so many answers to that question.
Shut the fuck up, fuck up, fuck up.
All right.
Okay, shit list.
What a good week.
Can we have some sort of like sound effect?
Shit list.
Wow. Okay. I think you want me to put a reverb on that?
I think this just became a solo show.
I do drop in a reverb every once in a while.
Do you?
Yeah. You are the backbone of this show. You are the funny of this show.
That's not true.
I'm just here for the laughs.
You laugh for my at. Laughs?
People laugh with you and at me, so we're the perfect pairing.
No. That's not true.
I will say, however, before we get into the shit list,
yeah,
that I was talking to a friend of mine and friend of the show, Maya, who said, one, I need to see a picture of the new haircut because we've heard ad nauseum about her hair. And so I want to see what it looks like.
Yeah.
Yes. And
all
then
right.
She said, and I love her for this. I'll love you forever, Maya. She said, I don't know how she can give you a bad time about talking over and over again about your mid-century modern house when she talks about her hair nonstop. And I quote.
Well, she's absolutely right.
Boop, boop, boop.
We both, yeah. Well, I haven't mentioned the hair because I got cut.
I know. She wants to see the haircut.
What I should show her is the pile of hair on the patio after Ashley was done cutting it.
Nobody wants to see
like,
that,
the
honey.
Guys who tried to get out of Alcatraz who needed the hair for their wax like profile masks, they would have been like, yes, all of that.
I know.
It was weird. And gray. So gray.
So gray.
Look at the gray right here.
I know.
This is a pandemic shade.
You know, no. You know what that is?
What?
That's because you had children.
Well, you know what's happening.
Yes. What?
I'm going gray here.
Yeah.
At the part.
Yeah.
Like big time.
Yeah.
But because I wear a mask in public,
yeah.
I don't have to smile ever.
Yeah.
So my crow's feet have disappeared.
That's nice.
Because there's no wrinkling of my eyes.
You know, the other nice...
I just stare at people.
The other nice thing about wearing a mask is that women who are accused of having RBF
mm-hmm.
don't have to put up with that shit anymore. And you know what? What is the male counterpart to resting bitch face? That is such a bullshit term. I just want to say it's not bitch face. It's
I just have like I'm not smiling when I'm not smiling face.
But you're really not smiling. Like there's not smiling and then there's not smiling.
Okay, well, you know I have no control
over the left side of my face.
Oh. 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 Oh my God, Bonnie's head is about to explode.
It's true.
Explode.
Okay, we told you last week about Shy Guy's birthday party and all of his friends brought him candy. So out of sight, out of mind, because that's the kind of parenting we believe in, he went right down to his room. He stashed all of his candy in his room, and I walked in there tonight, and there is the world's biggest bag of Skittles that's open. And all of a sudden, I remember seeing him like pulling M&Ms out of his pocket or whatever all of the candy was. He's been
surreptitiously.
Thank you. Surreptitiously, like slipping into his mouth just right in front of us. But he knows we're not paying any attention because we're just racing around like chickens with their head cut off in a quarantine, working full time plus and doing a podcast. Okay. Anyway, so in his bedroom, there is a waste paper basket literally full of candy wrappers. Mm-hmm. And so now the candy's coming upstairs with me.
Mm.
He would love that.
Well, he's pissed.
He is mad. Yeah. I got the big wide-eyed, you know.
And he's like, it's my birthday. It's my presents. I'm like, well, when it's gone, right? And he's like, right.
Yeah, you too. Thanks a lot for backing me up as a parent there.
Well, I mean,
I want to tell you how much I appreciate that.
Yeah, I don't.
And I'm the step-parent. Your job is to back me up.
I do back you up. I told him, pack up the Skittles and take them upstairs.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
So they're upstairs right now.
Oh, well, we shut the door and started recording. I don't know. I didn't. There's been no follow up. I'll schedule something and I'll circle back with him and we'll ladder up that synthesizer and see what the fuck shakes out. Kind regards.
Oh, my God. That was funny. Okay. We were actually
we'll do a Zoom call with them. Hey, hi. How are you? I see your dog in the background. That's so cute. Anyway, I just want to touch base on those Skittles. Like, were you able to deal with those? Or do you need a couple more days?
Did your daughter? Did your daughter do that? Oh, my God. She's five. That's such a cute drawing. Yeah. No. You don't have to take it off the wall. No, I'm not. Oh, even better up close. Oh, my God. It's just...
Oh, I love it. I love everything about
Zoom
working from home.
Yeah, it's true.
It's amazing. I'm more connected to my coworkers, even the people that I sit next to in the actual physical office. It's been the best. Seriously, well, I'm thriving in this environment.
I am,
knock on wood,
so happy that I'm working from home right now because we have so much work. And there's not a chance in hell I could get all this done.
We'd never see you. Because at least when you're here,
yeah,
I can walk by and see you.
Yeah.
You can just go into the kitchen and eat dinner and then get right back to it if you need to. But we still feel like we see you.
Yeah.
It's so nice.
I know.
It's so nice. You just eliminate all that superfluous stuff on all the...
That's unnecessary.
All sides. Like, you pack up at work, you get home, you unpack, you set up.
Yep.
By the time you're back in there, it's like 10. And then it's like, shoot me. Because sometimes you have to work more. There's a lot of important stuff going on right now, but this just frees up. The work-life balance is
so much
balanced for the first time in my entire career.
I do have to have a Varidesk, though. You're right.
Oh, shit.
I know. Was it on sale when you first recommended
this? Yeah, now they're $1,600.
Right.
I can't handle you.
Oh, yes, you can. You married me. You've got to handle me.
Hey, if anyone out there has a Varidesk they want to donate to, I shouldn't have had kids.
To my poor back.
Bonnie needs one in the office of our mid-century modern home.
It is actually not my back. It's my legs.
It's nice to be able to stand up. You'll love it.
Well, I know. I had a stand-up desk at work. I know what it feels like.
No,
actually, this desk is a stand-up desk, isn't it?
It's not. It's up as high as it goes.
Oh, well, for hell's sake.
Yeah.
I don't even think that's a phrase.
It is now.
For hell's sake, let's start it right now. It's trending. Hashtag hell's sake.
Well, let's do the hashtag shit list before I lose my mind.
Okay. I have so many I don't know where to start, but
I'm going to start. Well, you don't have so many. You have three.
Well, plus then you put two down and I'm like, oh yeah, those two. Crabbing. We finally got the boat, the mid-century modern 1968.
Shoot me.
Boston Whaler. Up and running, and by we, I mean you.
Yep.
Good on you.
Thanks.
And out into the bay we went, and we dropped our crab pots, and we came home with five fine lads that were chomping away.
That sounds like a Christmas song.
You know, fine, fine.
Oh,
I did
shit.
It again.
Time out. Stop the recording. I have to die. Oh my God. Okay.
Oh, that's funny.
Anyway, five crab. We hit our limit in one of our pots.
Right. And then the other plot was all females. So I believe somebody.
Total bust.
I think somebody stole our males.
I think we were just in the chick zone with that other plot.
We were in like the friend
a frat zone. Party. Yeah, we got friend zoned and then we were at a frat party with the other. Because I'm sure the males are typically larger, but we got, I mean, those were big.
Those were big males.
We didn't even have to pull out the measuring stick. They were clearly big enough.
Well, my girlfriend Lindsay, who grave it, I'm having, it's the struggle is
it's
real.
It's all the words. Do you need to do your lip? Wow, 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 wow.
Those are our pre-podcast lip
exercises.
We're warmed
up now.
No, we don't really have podcast lip exercises.
We don't.
For Christ's sake.
Well, unless it's lips on my wine glass.
What are you thinking that we would have those? Stop that.
Loose lips.
Oh.
Sink ships.
Yeah, that's right. She is like a...
World War II poster.
No, battleship.
Bitches.
Battleship bitch right over there across from me.
With resting bitch face.
Where was I going? Somewhere. Oh, right. Lindsay, my girlfriend Lindsay told me that...
Lindsay!
Oh, geez, the look on your face was really priceless.
That's what you do.
Me?
Yeah.
When I do that?
You do little shout outs.
Maya! Anyway, she said that there are so many big males right now because the restaurants have been closed for such a long time that a lot of the Native Americans are not going out and catching locally. And so it's left a lot of the big
selling
boys.
To the restaurants and so the
That's
crabber.
Right.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Now, here's the deal. We were pretty proud of the fact that we had five giant crabs, male crabs in our pot. And we took it out. We were feeling so
cocky.
And Lindsay then sent me a picture this afternoon of a crab pot that's probably 30% bigger than ours. And it was...
And 150% more full.
Literally, it was chock-a-block full of these giant males. I don't even know how she gets them out of there. I asked her and she didn't slack me back. So I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah, we need to know. Like a special glove, tongs.
Because you should see us.
Voodoo magic. Because we scream. We scream
so
and the seagulls start circling and the turkey vultures come out of the tree line and they're like, oh, there's two dead bitches.
And the seals are like, what the hell is going
look
on
at these
here?
Clowns.
Keep it down. Jesus, it's just
and
a
the
crab.
Crabs are like, just keep moving around. Just keep moving around.
You're freaking them out
these
now.
These two again. They're idiots.
Oh, but it was so much fun to
it
eat
It was
those.
Fun. And it was fun to go out. Turns out Shy Guy loves being on the water.
On the water, not in the water.
Yeah, not in the water,
say.
Which I... feel that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan. I'm sure there's sharks in our bay. But in any event, we had a nice little jaunt out and back and had some crab for dinner. And it was like we were living my
dream. It was really great.
On our patio with our new table, new to us table.
Yeah, we like the new to us table. We're such, I'm frugal. You was, just like buy and throw away at like at
UPS
the
comes every day.
That's not me.
I know. Have you noticed, though?
It's dumb.
Every day. The guy waves into our window, and he's like, cheers. It's like my best friend. I leave him notes at this point.
I know. We had a stranger UPS the other day, and he told Ruby to shut up.
Yeah. He's like, you hush. I'm like,
excuse me. This is
no,
our house.
That's not how our guy, who I just named Chad, talks to our dog.
Yeah. So anyway, crabbing, big, fat, shit list, hooray, goes out to crabbing.
Yeah.
You know, and now you go ahead.
Okay. Well, I'm going to jump down to one of mine.
Okay.
I would like to give a special shit list shout out to the fact that we booked a week in a house in our favorite spot in the Metau Valley. The Metau, or however you say it.
That's Metau.
Even though we don't know if it's going to be possible to go, but we have until this Saturday to cancel.
That's right.
Which is really weird because typically you have up until it's like 96 hours or 72 you can cancel. But they have special time built in between each rental for cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
So they need a full 30, and I get it. But everything where we wanted to go was booked. We waited too long because we just didn't know what school was going to look like or what. Anything in our lives looked like, so we had to call the reservation place to see if they knew something that we didn't know.
Oh my God, if you ever want to go to the Metau Valley, you go ahead and you call Central Reservations and you talk to Hallie from the Valley. Hear it for Hallie. She was so nice. I'm like, what's your name? And she said, Hallie. And I said, thank you so much, Hallie. And she said, Hallie from the Valley.
I could hear her.
So cute. She I couldn't stand cute. It.
So I can't wait. Late August. Yeah. I don't know if we're going to go or not.
We are going. Got... No, I'm already there in my head. I have to have a vacation.
We have to figure out the kids.
We'll figure out. They'll come over for 2 days and they will get out of Dodge after that and leave us be. And then we're going to have time away from this house. We'll podcast from over there.
Well, this is okay. So this is a hellish week for me at work.
Like, yeah,
absolutely.
It's
probably the busiest I've had since this started, honestly. Mm-hmm. And so I saw a vacation rental property over there that was available starting this Monday for
and
like
you
3 days.
It?
No, but I was like, how could we possibly make it work to go just even for two nights to be somewhere else?
I know. Just to be somewhere,
just somewhere else.
That's why it was so great to get out in the boat.
Yeah.
To go crabbing. And we actually had a date. We had date night. Oh, did I post that picture on I Shouldn't Have Had Kids? I will.
I don't know.
I have a picture of Ellen. It's us on date night. We've just taken the boat out to see the ospreys. If you've watched any of our live videos, and by any of our live videos, I mean either of the two live videos that we put up. But both of them were out to this little spot where we know there's an osprey nest. And we go out there every year. And it's on top of these pilings that used to be a dock. And so we went out this time, and the birds are still so little we can't see the little heads of the fledglings. But the mom was there this time, and the dad was there this time as well, which was really interesting. And we got too close to him at one point.
Oh, God. He started doing a weird neck roll. Like, I am stretching out my neck before I eat your fucking faces off.
Yeah. It's like walk like an Egyptian, you know, when your neck goes back and forth and back and forth. And we'd get close
it
to him.
It was so fluid. Like,
it was weird. He was definitely
it was like
threatening
the exorcist.
Us.
It was gonna start spinning around and puking up green.
Yeah, but that was super to see. And so we'll keep bringing you, we'll do more live videos because it's our way to get away. We get into that little 1968 Boston Whaler and we...
Or the kayak even.
Get out of here. Or the kayak.
Anything.
Maybe that was the
God,
first
we got
one.
To the Osprey quicker.
I know.
In the boat.
It took us 50 minutes in the kayak because it's across the entire bay.
Yeah,
but in the Whaler,
like
it's like
15.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah. That's hysterical. We were like there.
I know. It's just, it's not nearly as nice though because they smell it, they hear it, it's loud. You know, you can't get as close quietly as you can in a kayak. Nothing beats a kayak.
Well, the boat's
except
pretty
for
fun.
Speed.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So that's, you did crabbing. Then, so you just mentioned the osprey. That's also on the list.
I know.
All right. So that was crabbing and ospreys.
Yes.
And booking our week.
I've
our
got another.
Place. Okay. Go ahead.
One more. Did y'all see the Mont Blanc in Portland? This was my favorite news story of the week. Mm-hmm. It was so fantastic because you've got these. Well, you've got these unconstitutional federal agents that have been deployed to Portland, even though the mayor of Portland and I believe the governor of Oregon have both said, get off our property,
get out of our state. My lawn.
Get off my lawn, damn you. And they are, because the protests in Portland have never stopped for Black Lives Matter. And so the federal agents are coming in and they are supposed to be protecting federal buildings or federal statues. And instead, they are just targeting protesters. And these are protesters that are nowhere near a federal building or a federal statue. And they walk up to them. They do not charge them or tell them what they're picking them up for. They do not read them their Miranda rights. They grab them. They throw them into a van. They're not marked, but they're dressed in like army fatigue.
Yeah, they look like militia.
They do. And they
They're Trump's militia.
These poor people get thrown into this van. They don't know where they're going. And once they get to the federal building where they are going to supposedly, what, interrogate them, beat them, torture them? What the fuck are they doing? Anyway, they get there and these people, these protesters say, I want to talk to a lawyer. I want my phone call. And at that point, these agents have to let them go because what they're doing is illegal. And so what happened was, what always happens, moms are like, oh, no, you didn't. You stay away from my little boy or my little girl. And they went out there and they locked arms wearing white pants and they surrounded the protesters so that they could protect their constitutional rights. And the feds were like, what do we do now? And in a similar vein, but not at all, did you see?
I did because you showed me. I didn't
know. Oh, that's right. That's right.
I didn't know that there was...
The Venus of Portland?
The woman who was naked.
Was she the Venus? Is that what they called her? The Venus of Portland, I think?
I think that's what you had me Google. I mean, it auto-filled so quick, I don't even know. I just immediately got this to the story.
There is a young female protester in Portland who's stripped naked, sat in the middle of the street, spread
eagle
wide open and just stared down this line of cops, of the federal agents.
Love it.
It was amazing. God, I love her. I want to find her and first clothe her and then give her, like, I don't know, all the accolades. Yeah, it was amazing. That was a ballsy, or not at all. No, that was a badass bitch sort of thing to do.
Yeah,
is what
was.
That was. Yeah, you go for it, Vini.
And you fuck all the way off, militia.
Jesus.
Fucking Trump.
Ugh. I know. Speaking of him, I think you have one more on the shit list.
Yeah,
that's
so
kind of related.
Well, sort of. So we definitely
lose our mind over masks.
Yeah, we have opinions about masks. We figure it's worth the try. It's the only thing they know that might help.
Not even might. It's kind of, there's
you
just
wear
no
a mask,
question.
I wear a mask. We're protecting each other. It's
That's
really
right.
a no-brainer.
And we've been saying this for months.
It's not hard to breathe through. What's hard to breathe through is a knee on your neck. You should try it. Masks are not that big of a deal. So on my shit list this week, I would like to acknowledge all the people who are wearing
finally
masks.
Yes, it's
because
so great.
I don't know if it took the state mandate or if people are just finally feeling brave enough to come out and fuck you to anyone who gives them a hard time.
Yeah.
Because we've definitely dealt with that.
Yep.
Because we've been mask wearers since March.
Yeah.
But I want to say thank you to all the moms and dads and grandparents and aunts and uncles and human beings out there who are in masks and also putting their kiddos in masks and who are being respectful and who are doing social things, but at a physically appropriate away distance.
Being good citizens and good community members.
It is
thank
just,
you. Thank
we,
you.
We
thank
can
you.
Absolutely function and move forward if we all do that. And unfortunately, it's all or nothing.
Yep.
And I'm really glad to see how many people are participating in this movement because it is kind of a mask movement. And it's the only way we're going to get through with fewer deaths. Because isn't that what we want? I mean,
yeah, and to open
all
and
lives,
to have strong
all lives
economies.
Matter, right, assholes?
Yeah.
Well, then put on a fucking mask. Oh, I went back there again.
Yes,
God damn
did.
It. Good job, mask people. I love you.
I said, you've got to be positive. And she's like, I'm going to be positive about the mask people.
I love it. I love what I'm seeing.
I'm going to go negative just for a second here.
Okay.
The masks and the people that are wearing them. I love every single one of you except one.
Yeah, I know. That piece of shit.
I cannot even.
His 180 makes me want to hurl.
It's not a 180. What happened was he got pulled into a room and the people who are running his campaign said, here's the deal.
Look.
You're losing. And if you don't put a mask on, you will never stand a chance. If you don't start showing or at least pretending to show leadership in regards to this pandemic, you will lose the presidential election. And he said, fine, let me put on this handsome black mask and do this big wide open arm pose for you. And then we'll call it good. And the very next day or that day even, he was, where was he? He was in some big room with a bunch of people without a mask.
No, he's just an absolute.
Just endangering people all over the place.
Disaster.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And can I just say.
What?
That masks, no masks, pandemic, COVID, all of it. If anything happens to Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I'm going to die.
Before.
I know.
January something.
I know.
I am moving.
Let's have a moment.
It's not even like Trump. If
Let's
she
just,
dies, I'm out. I'm going to light a candle.
Have a moment. Let's just have a quick 10 seconds right here for Ruth.
I need an eternal flame.
You're killing Ruth. Be quiet. I think she feels it. I feel
RBG, it. RBG, you just hang in there. The energy coming off of women coast to coast towards you will keep you safe.
Yes.
Forever.
We're bathing you in white light.
Yeah.
I know how we can get all men to wear masks.
How?
Okay, ladies, I need you here. I need you with this. And I don't need any big lesbian reaction from you, okay?
Oh, shit.
I want you to look at the men in your life who might even believe you for a split second and just say, if you wear a mask for me, I'll give you a blowjob.
You're going to make them the promise.
Just make them the promise. And if you've
That's
ever
right.
read The Sweet Potato Queens, you know what I'm talking about. And if you haven't read it, you probably should because it's a funny book.
Put on their mask and wear it
24/7.
We're going to nip this pandemic in the bud with a bunch of men hanging on to the hope.
That they're going to get a blowjob today.
Whoop, whoop.
Okay. Thank you for not having a big
but
reaction
then
to that. What?
You're out is. I mean, if, hey, To each their own. But let's say you need an out.
Yeah.
Put your mask on and say, I can't right now. I have to wear my mask. It's really...
Wait, what is this show about? I've forgotten.
It's about not having fucking kids.
Oh, my God.
So yada, yada, yada.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of, you know, we were going to do like current events, although I think that's what we've been doing. And
we are a current event.
Okay. Before we get on to our topic of the day, which is fouling the nest or soiling the nest, as some people say, let's do a little yada, yada here, which okay. is our name for
what current events
we want to talk about.
In the news.
And here's what everybody's talking about if you're a parent and if you have kids and you're looking at them and they keep saying what's going to happen.
I think you might be talking about this even if you don't have kids.
Seriously.
This is like the world's mystery, the United States mystery anyway.
Are the kids going back to school in the fall? If you've got a K through 12, nobody knows the goddamn answer to this.
And nope.
I was reading this article in the Financial Times. The U.S. has just 4% of the world's population, but accounts for roughly a quarter of confirmed COVID-19 cases and deaths. So that's kind of let me just set the landscape for you in regards Yikes. To this. So the CDC guidance about opening schools is about as clear as mud at this point. I want you to listen to this timeline. I just had to bring this with me because this is a show about parenting and I don't think parents know how to feel about this. The last thing any working parent wants is for their kids to stay home. It's so hard to do your job that way. And the last thing any parent wants is to send their kids to school in an unsafe environment. So what the heck is supposed to do? So we all look to our leaders to help us make this decision, right? So here's what our leaders are saying. The CDC guidance about opening schools as of May 19th, they issued guidelines on the reopening of schools. It had, you know, social distancing in the classroom, closing communal gathering spots like the cafeteria, and staggering start times. On July 13th, James Redfield, the doctor who leads the CDC,
Totes.
Appeared on Good Morning America and said that the agency would issue, quote, additional reference documents to help the schools reopen and that they would be available July 17th. Well, evidently, the president and his minions took a look at those additional reference documents, and he immediately takes to Twitter and calls the CDC guidelines, quote, impractical, very tough and expensive, and threatens, and this is the thing that kills me.
Oh, he's just a piece of shit.
Threatens to withhold federal funding from schools that don't reopen. It reminds me of, we used to work with this friend of ours named Joel, and he is really funny, and we were traveling in Corpus Christi. Oh, Kisty.
Guess who I get to see tomorrow?
Joel is working with you.
I
forgot.
Know.
Oh, my
so
God.
Excited.
Joel. Anyway, so we were in Corpus Christi on a video shoot and we were returning a rental car and we were pulling in to return the rental car. And you go over those spiky things and they just go one way. And there's a sign that says, do not back up because it will puncture the tires, basically. And all of a sudden, Joel from the back, he's young at this point, backs up or speaks out with, if you back up, we will puncture our own tires, which was hilarious. And that's kind of what the federal government just said to parents everywhere.
I love that you pulled that memory out.
Oh, it was so funny when he said, it just slayed me when he said that. Anyway, then on July 8th, the Veep hosts the Coronavirus Task Force laugh-in show, as I like to call it. And he says that the CDC guidelines would be changed. Well, the very next day, Dr. Redfield is back on GMA and he says, nope, not going to change them. Wouldn't be prudent. But we will provide additional info on July 17th. July 17th came and July 17th went. And there's still nothing. While the parents of the nearly 57 million K-12 students, their teachers and administrators wait and wait and wait. Meanwhile, Quest Diagnostics is warning that there will be crippling delays to testing in the fall during cold and flu season. So how would we ever keep up with testing
in the public
schools?
It's not going to happen.
It's terrible. And what happens if we can't? They're saying that there will be at least a week wait between the test and the results. A week wait. At that point, you know what those tests do for us?
Nothing.
Zero. Nothing.
So why not just focus on making an online environment successful instead of this bullshit? See, this
because
is
because there's no leadership. There's no definitive
leadership.
Answer.
There's no trust.
Nope.
There's no. I just, again, go back to if Hillary were president,
This would not have happened.
A mom.
Yeah.
There would have been chicken soup for everyone. And this fucking thing would have been locked down months ago.
She said the funniest thing. I think it was on Twitter or something this week. But it was a short video clip of her saying, you know, I just want to point out that all of the countries who have had the best responses to COVID-19 are run by women.
I saw that. It's like the end of something. She's like, a little sidebar here. Yeah, just FYI, in case you missed it.
In case you are ever going to be sorry that you elected this buffoon to the presidency.
Right.
She is.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Anyway. And in the meantime, we are losing our grasp on what the real numbers are so that we can make decisions for our kids. Because I guess now the hospitals no longer report their coronavirus findings to the CDC. Rather, they report them to HHS, which is being run by a placeholder administrator who is just a Trumpite, probably gave a couple of million.
He's probably a conspiracy theorist, KKK member.
A Q member.
Who forgets to take his hood off when he gets in his car in the morning.
Oh, wow. And there she goes, ladies and gentlemen. She's gone.
What? It's a mask? You want me to wear a mask? Yeah, you
hooded. Okay. Don't make my editing job harder.
Sorry.
God.
I know.
Anyway,
it's late at night. I've had some wine. This is my safe space. It's just you and me, right?
Yeah, every week. I got to tell you, baby, it's not.
Okay.
There's all the listeners out there.
All right. Well, so you've got K-12 dilemma, not knowing what's going to happen in the fall. But the other wrinkle in time is higher education. And that's a whole nother shit show because colleges are like, well, there's a handful still that are adamant that they're going to go back and mm-hmm. they're going to have sports and mm-hmm. they're going to have all this stuff. They're mm-hmm. also the states where the governor's heads are so far up into their asses that it's like a 911 situation where they're going to have to focus on getting the head back out of the butthole. But
would somebody turn the light on in here, please?
In areas where people have brains that are connected and functioning.
All right. The snarkiness is just getting too thick.
Colleges are moving online. They're making the decision right now.
Some of them, yes.
They're saying, hey, we're going to be online. Prepare for it. So what does that mean?
Oh, well, let's talk for in normal times.
Yeah.
Right now during the summer, right? If you had a graduate from high school, mm-hmm. they would right now be doing what we're talking about today, which is, and they probably are, fouling the nest, which if you've never heard that phrase before and you have cute little darling toddlers and you're so in love and you take so many videos, you can't take your eyes off of them. Mm-hmm. I am here to tell you that in 16 years, those children will be devil children and you will be opening the door and saying, here's your hat, what's your hurry? And your heart will be breaking at the same time. I know we tongue-in-cheek bitch and moan about our kids and all kids on the podcast, but the fact is, best job in the world, parenting.
Mm-hmm.
Best people in the world, your children. We love ours to overuse an overused phrase.
To the moon and back.
Oh, God. Anyway.
But when they soil the nest.
It's real.
It's real. It stinks, and you want to kick the shit out of them.
Psychologists say that pre-college freshmen struggle with vulnerability,
mm-hmm.
self-doubt about their readiness to fly the coop.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And so when they get all stressed like that, of course they're going to get nasty. They're scared. It's scary for them because they're going to start their big, fat adult life.
They're scared.
And they know everything.
Well, also hungry for autonomy. They want to be able to walk out the front door and not tell you everything that they're doing.
But
they're ready to be able to just not completely have to cook and clean and mm-hmm. deal with the lawn and mm-hmm. all that comes with being a full-on, like, out-in-the-world, mm-hmm. hardcore adult. But they're ready to not answer to you for a minute.
Yeah, but
I think that's also part of it. So all of this combined,
that.
And they're just like a little shitting chicken all over the place.
A shitting chicken. Well, it's made worse because they are wondering what it's going to be like to say goodbye to home.
Sure.
And they know that it's going to be hard, as much as they dislike you right now,
mm-hmm.
to say goodbye to you. So they're tied
up.
All
they've ever known.
Yeah. They're tied up in, there's a couple things. I think they're tied up in these ropes of emotional baggage that's, you know, yours and mine and ours. It's everybody's.
Yep.
And they are... they are really hungry to be independent and they want to show you and show themselves that they can be independent. And sometimes, especially if they're living at home and it's a home where you pay the mortgage and you buy the food and you sit up worrying when they don't show up and they don't call to let you know, even though they are, you know, graduates now, it's so not cool to do that. So the easiest way for some of these kids to navigate this is to push back really hard, by which we mean fouling or soiling the nest.
Soiling.
Yeah, soiling the nest. Oh, it is fouling as well, but I was Googling F-O-W-L-I-N-G because it's a nest.
It's a bird. Yeah,
fouling the nest.
I like soiling.
So when they soil the nest, what happens is that everybody is happy when they leave. And that hurts.
Well, and that's probably Mother Nature's tripwire.
Yeah.
Because she's like, all right, look, you have spent 18 years nurturing this little chick, and it's like your whole world. And so to make it a little easier for you.
They're going
to
be shitheads.
I'm going to turn that little chick into a raging asshole. And then it's going to make that separation a little easier because you're like, goodbye.
Okay, so this is what fouling looks like. And I swear to you, you know, your little 10-year-old soccer player who's, you know, molars are coming in and or going out or whatever they're doing at 10, you're just so proud of. This is what it's going to look like when they're 18 years old. They are entitled. They are mouthy. They are rude. Mm-hmm. They are inconsiderate.
Yeah.
They are snarky. They take part in the Great Disappearing Act. If they want to go, they go. They are not checking in when they're late, which means that you get to stay up and worry.
That's so irritating.
Or just drink a lot of wine and go to bed. Yeah. One of the two. And they're not letting you know who they're with or where they are. And that is really tough. Meanwhile, all the good-hearted parent wants to do is to wrap his or her baby boy or baby girl in their arms and whisper the best advice for starting the next big, beautiful adventure, because we have so much to offer. We know so much as their parents, and they don't want to hear it.
Mm-mm.
No. And that, I think that hurts to be like rejected and ignored and disrespected.
As parents?
Yeah. I think it's really hard. And that's why it's easier to let them go. Mm-hmm. They break your heart so that you can say, okay, what time did you say your plane departs?
Mm-hmm.
If you're taking a plane, which many aren't anymore. Oh, God. Okay, so at the end of the day, it is definitely easier to say goodbye to someone that you will always love, but you really don't like right now.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right or am I right?
You're right. I can remember definitely soiling the nest.
Mm.
In fact, my mom overheard me saying to a friend that I can't wait to get out of here, and it really hurt her feelings. And I get that it hurt her feelings,
mm-hmm.
for sure. But it was my truth.
Yep.
Right? Which is something she's always said to us. Like, this is my truth. So that was my truth. Like, I was ready to go. I needed
to go.
To go because
every
I was
18-year-old needs to go.
Well, and especially where I was in that moment in time in 1995, I was 100% gay and not out and struggling with it.
Yeah.
And there was no way I could come out in that environment. It just wasn't the right time or place. And I knew I needed to go somewhere so I could try to start sorting things out on my own.
You had a lot to sort through.
Yeah, but it wasn't, I can't wait to get out of here because I don't want to be with my
parents. No, I don't think any kid feels
or
that
this
way.
Home necessarily.
That's right.
It was like, I gotta go experience a different environment.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can, but it was unfortunate that she heard that. And I can remember getting really mad at my dad too because he'd say, you don't understand what's in the real world, which is a statement I try not to say to the kids,
mm-hmm.
because we're all in the real world. Your newborn is in the real world.
No, like, that's true.
We're all in the real world in different phases. And I resented that he categorized it like that. Like at some point, all of a sudden I was going to be in his world and his world was the real world. But the language he used shut me down because
you were 18.
But I find myself doing that. It's so easy.
Yeah,
like now
of course.
I completely respect what he was talking about. I'm like, oh my God, my fucking kids don't have a clue what it's like in the real world. And I'm like, no, don't say real world.
Don't say it.
Say what it's like. They don't have a clue what it's like in this phase of life.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Right. But yeah. I totally, Dad, I'm
God love
so
you.
Sorry. You were 100% right. I had no idea what it was like in that phase of life, and I'm glad I didn't, because it's a shit show.
You know, I think that there's something really interesting that's going on right now, at least in my head. I don't know if it's actually happening in the real world, but like if you have a 15-year-old or a 14-year-old, 15-year-old, what you may not know if it's your first is that any minute now, you're going to have to rev your engines really big and really bad and get on the college preparation train. And it is so much work for everybody. Mm-hmm. And regardless, quarantine or no quarantine, it's going to be a lot of work. It's probably going to be more work without or with a quarantine. But
it might be less if you can't go visit colleges.
Well, that's true. But the fact is that we're kind of being forced to reassess what our kids actually need. And the kids are being forced to reassess what they actually need from an education. And I wonder, as we get ready for this next year in college, if we aren't going to go, hang on just a second, college is kind of a racket and they need to change things up or else I'm not going to go there.
Yeah, you know, this whole pandemic and this shift in education and just what's happening. Like right now, we're still trying to force what we know and what we're comfortable with into this situation. Mm-hmm. It's like round peg, square hole.
Yeah, and it's not going to work.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of the Malcolm Gladwell episode where he talks about taking the LSATs in law school and higher education and how the LSAT is
for the rabbits,
for a hare and not for a tortoise.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all...
And some of the best lawyers are tortoises.
They're tortoises. The briefs that they have to read and the work they have to do, it takes – it's not a fast process.
Right.
And so anyway, what he says at the end of this two-episode storyline is his recommendation for fixing this is to blow the whole thing up.
I really think it has to happen.
Absolutely everything. Yeah. And I think about him a lot right now and what he would think because elementary school aside, we're not dealing with that. High school, yes, we have a high schooler and we're going to have to figure that out. But what I'm soiling the nest and what I am really thinking about like all the time is what Malcolm said in that and Lola.
Yeah.
Because here we have a kid who like we just finished cleaning up the nest from his soiling it,
yes.
Which was totally typical.
Yes.
Nothing super major. But now the decision has been made that he's going to take a leave of absence. So, you know, you go through this emotional roller coaster of that soiling process where they're really being rough on you and you're probably micromanaging them because you're freaked out.
Yep.
Right. It's just kind of a swirl.
And you're still parenting a child.
You're
in
still
your head.
Parenting a child. Uh-huh. And they have that, you know, each one approaches this whole thing a little differently. Right? Like the way Lola approached it and Tigger, which, oh my God, it's like they're not related. It's like totally differently.
Night and day.
So you get them off and you are like, yay, here's your hat. What's your hurry? Okay. And then you now are what? Making room for a foghorn leghorn to move back into the fucking nest? Right? Because right now what's happening is he is back like he's a high school kid.
I'm really heartbroken, as anyone who knows me can tell, that his future is so unknowable and that his dream of going off to become that independent person has really been crushed at this point in time, because even if he were going back to school, it would be online and he would still be in the house. So the hardest part of this whole scenario is that, like, his girlfriend, she's a rising college freshman and she was set to leave this fall. So she is literally like all of her fellow graduates. They are all busy soiling the nest because that's their job. They are feeling the sense of independence, as I think to a certain extent Lola is as well.
Well, that's my point.
So they're doing that, but there's going to be no release at the end of it because there is no leaving for college.
Right. That's exactly where I'm struggling.
God, it's so hard.
He's delightful.
Yes.
And I adore him.
Yes.
But he picked up where he left off, and that was soiling.
Yes.
Right? When he left, he was soiling.
Yes.
And he got down there, and our relationship started to shift because the guardrails went down.
Yep.
There were things we had to just say la
vie. And he's such an 80-year-old, 19-year-old anyway.
Yeah,
so
he's like
easier.
The perfect pandemic partner.
Yeah, he
just
is,
get that
actually.
Out of the way. But he came back and he finished school and we were all kind of like almost like in a drunken stupor, like, oh, just do okay, like move forward, figure it out, like, oh my God, online, it's a novelty.
Nobody knew what was going on.
Now it's summer and he is soiling the nest again.
Yes.
But guess what? He's not leaving.
No. And I don't know how to parent
an
adult.
I don't know how to deal with.
I don't think you parent an adult.
Well, you don't.
That's the problem.
We're whispering.
Because it freaks me out.
But when do we set him down and say, hey,
tomorrow,
enough shitting in the nest?
Yes.
Because we have to we just like we're rethinking education, we have to reinvent our relationship with our, I'm just going to call him an adult, with our adult child.
And we're not alone. In fact, lots of college kids came home during lockdown and they never ever left. I looked at a Pew Research study that found that roughly 20% of U.S. adults moved or know someone who relocated permanently or temporarily because of the pandemic. So some of them moved to reduce their risk of contracting the virus. Others, because of money, they were, you know, unstable or they were afraid of quarantining by themselves. Most thought, like Lola, like we did, that it would be for a month, maybe two, possibly three. And now here we are, Karen.
Karen.
Swear to God.
I was reading some articles. I read an article from the Washington Post. It's written March 16th, 2020, so it's old news, but this is by Amy Joyce. The article title is "What Happens When College Kids Leave the Nest and Then Coronavirus Sends Them Back."
Oh, God.
The article was stunning because it literally was exactly everything that we went through. So I know that coast to coast families were experiencing this same thing, but there was one line out of it that just absolutely stopped me in my tracks. Listen to this.
Okay.
So this is a woman is being quoted. I can't remember who in the article. She interviews a handful of different moms.
Okay, I'm here for you. Go.
All right. So this is whoever's being quoted is talking about her college freshman son who's just come home March 16th, which is exactly us, right?
Yep.
She says, on top of all of this, he will be taking courses online right alongside his 16-year-old brother, who may not love the fact that he has to share the car again. At least, she said, her oldest son isn't coming home. If all three were here, I'd leave.
Oh, my God. That is exactly what we said and did. I mean,
that is us.
We loved Tigger, and I was scared to death for him. He didn't want to come home. And we were like, no, that's probably good.
Plenty of our friends who have, like, their kids have moved home, that would not work for us.
I don't think so.
Because Tigger was crawling away from your beach blanket when he was two.
It's true.
He's always been on his way out.
We would drive him crazy, and he would drive us crazy.
Well, he's an adult man.
Yeah, he's so weird.
he's an adult man. And the other thing I will say about that is that it's really interesting because we definitely aren't raising him anymore. We're more friendship, guidance counselors.
Yeah, yeah.
Something he can rely on. When you are away from home for that long and you develop your own routines and your own habits and your own stuff,
mm-hmm.
that's like oil and water at that point.
Yeah.
To like fold him back in would be not fair to him. And it would be not fair to us.
Well, you know, I read an article in the New York Times. I can't remember if it was older or not, but it was written by Taylor Trudon and he
Taylor Swift
and he or she addressed some of that and was talking about college juniors or seniors or full-fledged adults out there mm-hmm. in the world mm-hmm. who are forced to come home and take up shop in their bedroom, their childhood bedroom that's like decorated for a little boy or a little girl, and that's where they now have to live.
That's nuts.
Oh my gosh. Or even the article went on to talk about several adults. They interviewed a lot of adults, and I have some things I want to share with you. But you know, when that happens, then you've got adult. They're not even children. You have adult. Well, they're adult children.
Well, they're roommates.
They're
at
roommates.
That point. And that's my point.
Tenants.
Is not that it's not good, bad, or indifferent. Okay, I'm not criticizing his life in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
But he may not be as wound up about having a clean kitchen as me.
No.
But if he's here,
we need that.
Right? So
it's our living space.
And he's like, he is, what's the word? Like for him, that ship has sailed.
Yeah.
Like right?
Yeah.
We're right on the cusp with Lola.
Yeah.
So he's back. And he's like,
if it were year two from college, I think it would be harder.
Like, we're right on that edge of like, I feel like if we could sit down and have a family meeting
mm-hmm.
and say, look, you're not in high school. We're not going to call you up for dinner after you've been like lounging after work.
Yeah.
We would like to lounge too. Two nights a week, you're going to have to make the meal. I mean, that's just what we're going to have to do.
Okay. I cannot believe this did not make our shit list. The boys made us dinner last night while we exercised.
Yeah.
Can I just say? And it was good.
It was really good.
It was good. Well, I want to know how you navigate your new adult life and your new adult self from the confines of your childhood bedroom. I mean, how in the world does that happen? That must be difficult.
I don't know. I mean, we didn't even like... That's so funny. We're such nerds.
What?
Well, the first thing we did when we knew, because you, like, we sniffed it out, right?
Right.
Like, we were like, there's no way. Spring break, yay. Hey, keep your kids an extra week.
And we're like,
while
uh-huh,
we sort some
right.
shit out. And we were like, it's over. It's over. Just life is done. We immediately started ordering furniture and lighting and shades and monitors and turned our rec room into a complete fucking classroom, because I didn't want actually that. I didn't want them stuck in their rooms
yeah.
all day. It yeah. felt like if they're gonna go to online school,
they have to have a place to go.
That it would be nice, like us, they can walk down the hall
yep.
and go into a different space.
Yeah. We're so lucky that we can even talk like this.
I know.
There
we really are
so many people out there who don't have this as an option.
Not
this is
even
such
close.
A privileged way to look at quarantining. It's dumb. So don't even for a minute yeah. think that we are complaining, because we know how lucky we are.
No, we're not complaining about our space at all. In
no,
fact, I think we talk about, I use the blessed term, which I hate, but it's kind of
hands
applicable.
Together blessed.
Well, it's really applicable here because
namaste, motherfucker.
We have. You're right. That was we're not complaining. I don't want to see. I know there's people who are like three to a bedroom dealing with the pandemic the same as we are.
Yep, that's right.
So I apologize.
Well, you know, that's this article that I was talking about by Taylor. He says, or she says, while some people have embraced the experience of being in the rooms that shaped their formative years, others have been more reluctant. Lisa Caravelli described her childhood bedroom as not only unchanged, but worse. She says, my parents took my old room decorations from when I was a toddler, like everything Minnie Mouse and bubblegum pink, and did the room as if I were 4 years old again. She's 26. She works in advertising software sales in Chicago, but she came home during the pandemic. The Minnie Mouse revival was for her two younger nieces, who occasionally sleep over. And she says, I'm thankful for Zoom backgrounds, because otherwise it's a big bow headboard and polka dots. So that's her reality. But what was really cool about this article are some of the comments about it. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, you bring up an interesting point, because I think right now, 26 is an interesting age.
Yeah.
You probably would have, at that point, you're fully into a different
exactly.
mindset, and you go, oh, I am a guest here. I am, this is my childhood room.
Yes.
But rules have changed. My parents, this is their life, and I need to fit in here as a partner, as a
yeah.
participant,
yeah.
as I'm not here as their child. I'm here as their adult child. And it's a different relationship. And we actually, I think right now, if Tigger were to move home, it would be a disaster. But give him like 3 years.
Yeah.
And he would come here of the mindset of like, how can I participate?
That's right.
In moving this machine forward?
Yeah. 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 I do think that there is a big difference.
I think that
and actually,
a finish line potentially where we could move him home and not kill him.
I'll post this article to our page because it'll be in the show notes on Buzzsprout.
Right.
Yeah. So you can find the link there, because it's worth a read, because you're right. That is kind of the attitude of the people who moved home. But what is really stunning about the people in their 20s who moved home and even in their 30s who moved home is how differently they are looking at life now. Many of them had moved to the big city. It was really dangerous because, you know, when you're in a city, you're close together. The pandemic spreads more quickly. And they were paying really high rent. It was a frenetic pace. And they moved back home and they were given the opportunity to not have very expensive living or not very high living expenses. And so they're saving money. And like one gal said, I'm learning to play the guitar. I haven't picked it up since high school. And I realize that my priorities are reshuffling. And I think for many people, priorities are reshuffling. But I have to read you some of the other comments
yeah.
on the article, because it was really good. In the same way that I'm saying that I know that we're really lucky to even have these as our big topics that we want to discuss about living through a pandemic when all of this is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Becky says in a comment about this article in the New York Times, how about those of us, and oh, this one killed me, how about those of us millennials with families? Millennials
oh, wow.
are at the intersection of late starts, debt, the gig economy, and the depreciating value of education. Those who are still employed and single can use the free rent, so to speak, as a boon. Those of us who lost employment due to imploding industries and who have children are lost, erased. Living in our childhood bedrooms with our spouses and children in our siblings' rooms is not how we imagine the career and wealth-building chapter of our middle age. Are we to be erased? Reinvented? And that one, it broke my heart. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel so bad for the millennial generation. They have really just taken it in the shorts, and this is not adding to this. I know you don't like millennials, however.
They're not my favorite.
Okay, Mason in Texas says, I had friends paying rent to their parents or single parent when they turned 18, whether or not they had graduated high school yet. I can't imagine that still isn't the case somewhere. It's strange to see all these stories of adults who return to their parents' houses and are saving money because they don't have to contribute. But family is a blessing. I lived with my dad in a year of failure in my early 20s. My sister and her child lived with my mother in a year of failure in her early 30s. Every time I hear someone complaining about welfare, I wonder if they had the privilege of parents who help out and are just tone deaf. Which is really, if you have the privilege to move home when you hit financial troubles, count your blessings.
No kidding.
VD in New York City says...
Venereal disease
I'm sorry.
In New York City?
How about that? Yeah.
Wear a mask.
Americans are some of the loneliest and most indebted people I know, yet so many comments here find it strange for grown children to go back home during tough times. What else is family for? Growing up in Europe, it was absolutely normal and still is to have different generations share a home, help the young ones save up to buy a house, and then in return, they help the elderly parents when the time came. I find this much more acceptable than kicking out 18-year-olds on their own to waste money on rent and immediately converting their rooms. Your kids will not magically learn to appreciate hard work and money at 18 if you haven't been teaching that for 15 years prior. My childhood room still has the same furniture because my parents are frugal. It's in no way a shrine to me. My kids love sleeping there and imagining I was once their age and living in that room. Mm. And I have one more because these are such, I tried to pick different perspectives. Mm-hmm. Beauregard, I love that name, in New York City says, I was less than a week out of the house and my parents had painted it, refurnished and erased all signs that their former teen, then young 20-something, had lived there. Why are these parents maintaining these shrines? These kids should do their parents a favor and help them, the parents, grow up and redo their old rooms. Make it an adult guest room. Be the adult in your if your parents refuse to be. And somebody responded to Beauregard. Alan in Atlanta responds with, at Beauregard, let them live the way they want, and you and your parents can live the way you want. Everyone is always so desperate to tell others how to live. MYOB. But I thought those were really good perspectives because it's all so very different, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to your Aunt Melissa by text today, and we were lamenting the fact that we didn't have a family compound.
We need a family compound.
I would
in
love
Hawaii.
Oh, my God. It would be so great. Let's just go.
You know, I read an article about... So there's, you know, obviously it's, you're very privileged if you're able to move home with your folks when you mm-hmm. have financial mm-hmm. hard times, right? But on the flip side of that, there are like parents who are making deep and big and wide decisions for their future without this in mind, of course, because who knew this was happening? And
right.
I read an article about a family whose daughter came home for spring break from UC Berkeley. And the day that the email came out that UC Berkeley was going online and to keep their kids home was the first day of their showing for putting the house on the market because they had purchased something smaller.
Oh, Jesus.
They had already sold their second car, which their daughters had shared. And then the other daughter was sent home. She was like a first year Harvard Law School student
or maybe
it was a brother. And he was sent home because Harvard went like later days, hard pass, shut down.
And it was a done deal. They had already bought.
Well, they had bought.
Uh-huh.
They had sold the car.
Yeah.
They were downsizing.
Yeah.
And they had showings. So all of a sudden they had two kids home. Then they found out that one of their daughter's really good friends, or maybe it was the son, I apologize, from Notre Dame, had nowhere to go because of some weird family situation where they like couldn't leave the country.
Yeah.
So they flew her. So they took the house off the market.
Rented
the
other place. They
moved their two kids home, found a space in their home for the friend.
Uh-huh.
And then I don't know what they did with the other place.
Oh my God.
I actually got bored with the article. But I was like, that's my worst fucking nightmare.
Hey, maybe maybe we're looking at this at the wrong way. Maybe what we should do is realize that we could bring Tigger home as well, and we could start charging Tigger and Lola rent, and then I could retire early.
Yeah.
And you could work. And the rest of us could just
That sounds great. That sounds fantastic.
Okay, maybe not.
Well, I think the point is we've got a generation of kiddos here.
Yeah.
So I guess in rising freshmen, college freshmen
yep.
who are busy soiling.
Yep.
Sophomores who've been brought home or
brought home.
Rising sophomores who've been brought home and are like, well, let's pick up where I left off.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe I didn't grow up after all.
Yeah, probably through a few who are now grades, who are now here, mm-hmm. back with their folks, wherever yep. here yep. is. And they're crapping all over the place. I just don't even know what to say about it.
I think the deal is that we need a new nest.
We don't
need a new nest. We just need to all get down and clean the nest. We need to have the family meeting.
Well, part of the issue.
We should talk family meetings sometime.
We should. But I think part of the issue is the stress that you talked about of kids feeling vulnerable and not sure if they're ready for college and all of that.
Yeah.
Like that stress has been replaced with like don't kid yourself. Shitty leadership in this country is super stressful. And you've got a generation of kids that are in tune and aware and getting alerts.
They're freaking out.
They know what's going on and they're not stupid.
Yeah.
So they are looking around going, who's fucking in charge of this place?
Yeah.
And so there's new stressors.
Yep.
And so they're acting out. And that's going to be tricky to work through.
I'm going
to
reframe this.
Reframe.
All right. We have bought a dream. And the dream is you graduate from high school. You are everybody's star and everybody's darling. You go off to whatever college you have managed to get into, or if you're really smart or your parents have a lot of money and are willing to break the law, you can get into really highfalutin colleges, right?
And if you're white.
Anyway, you go off to college at 18. You go into debt. Then you go off to grad school. You go deeper into debt. And then you start your life and you spend it paying off that debt and trying to build generational wealth, which is impossible because the educational system has set you back so far. So perhaps what's happened here is that we've been given the opportunity to keep our kids closer. I mean, Lola's making bank as he works and doesn't have any. I mean, he's just saving money for college. He has no overhead.
He has no expenses, which he loves to tell us. This is so great. All this money's mine.
He's learning how to. Yeah, right. Fuck you, Lola.
Oh, actually, there's a finder's fee for.
He's learning how to cook. He's learning. You know, he's learning. No, they will. They'll learn. I mean, they are going to be cooking for us.
Well, now that we're going to have a family meeting.
That's right. I know we've mentioned that a few times.
Yeah.
I think that this is an opportunity for us to reimagine how sending your kids off into the world, what it looks like. It doesn't have to look like the way we've defined it so far. And it especially doesn't have to look that way if colleges are going to continue to gouge parents, which they've been doing, and now they are. I mean, Lola's one of the deciding factors for Lola in terms of taking a leave of absence from school.
Yeah, they raised the rent.
They raised the fucking tuition in the middle of a pandemic. Mm-hmm. They say that they raised it beforehand, but I don't give two shits if they raised it beforehand. They could have said, hey, we're going to take that, you know, what's that called? take back or... Isn't there a game, a kid's game? Take back or minnows or...
No take backs?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. No take backs. Well, this is a take... They should have had a take back.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. You said that this is a generation that's like going to struggle to accumulate generational wealth and whatever.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if it would get if anyone pause to what it's been like for other groups of people forever.
Well, I think that the millennials have been, the white millennials are now experiencing what it's like to essentially, not even close, sorry.
Yeah, not even close.
Not even close, but they are not able, they're going to be.
Thematic similarities between the, like, nope, that's not going to work out for you.
They're the first generation that is not going to be wealthier than their parents' generation. And by that, I mean white millennials. And so that's a wake-up call, you know. And we've got to take a look at what's going. And you know that this is my pet peeve. I'd like to tell all colleges they're the devil. They are the devil and they have stolen from the American dream. Anyway, I'm glad that Lola's taking a leave of absence. I wish it was a true gap year where he could go traveling or do something. So that's the big challenge. What the hell are we going to do with this guy?
Well, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
I know that.
There's no end in sight. There's no, like, end game. There's no way to play short ball or long ball.
I have a suggestion.
It's like fly by the seat of your pants ball.
I have a suggestion.
With a fake, with pumped in crowd noises.
Baseball starting. I think we need to go plan a family meeting.
Oh, shit. Okay, let's do that.
Goodbye.
See ya.